Welcome to the Fittest Podcast in Oakland, where your favorite coaches talk everything to help make you a better person inside and outside of the gym. On this week's episode, we talk getting strong and testing strength with the upcoming event of the CrossFit Total. We give you all the who, what, where, when, why, hows, and have a blast explaining why we do it and some other fun things. And we give you all the tips and tricks. So sit back, listen up, and let's get strong on this week's episode of the Fittest Podcast in Oakland. Yes, we already have Robin laughing. You missed my wonderful Flintstones joke. And maybe I'm a jerk. I don't know. And you missed the steam horn of the intro to Meet the Flintstones.
Yeah, the horn that goes off at the gym. If you're a regular participant here, you've heard it.
Yep. Jay Wu told me it's some time in the morning. 11:30. Is it 7 a.m.?
Yeah, I think so. 7 is
11:30.
Yeah.
3:55 and 4:30.
Yeah.
Those are the times.
Yeah.
So if you ever wonder.
It's like shift worker kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was our cue to start talking about some stuff.
And it's a great transition when you go from the Flintstones and bedrock, and the bedrock of strength is Robin.
The CrossFit Total.
Bam! Look at that. Look at us. We're on the roll this morning. And we did not practice that, by the way, if you can't tell.
I know. It was smooth. Super smooth.
So, we are doing the total.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want me to read it?
You should probably read it, because everybody's probably like, what is the total?
Okay. It's named the CrossFit Total to differentiate it from a classic Olympic lifting total or a classic powerlifting total. But the style is the same.
Or the super total.
Or the super total. There's lots of totals. But this is specifically the one that we do here at the gym. And we call it the CrossFit Total. So do a lot of people. It is the sum of the best of three attempts at the squat, the press, and the deadlift. All three lifts are done. Oh, well, this isn't true. All right. So anyway, it is the sum total of the pounds you lift in the back squat plus the pounds you lift in the deadlift and the press. You get three chances to do one, right? And so you take your best of three, and then you add all three of those lifts together, and that's your total. So you have a 200-pound back squat, a 100-pound shoulder press, and a 300-pound deadlift. You have a 600-pound total. Pretty straightforward.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the way we're going to talk about the way we do this, it's a test. It's test day. We think we're going to talk about why we do it and then what to do with those numbers. Something like that. All right.
Sure.
Cool.
What did that article say?
Well, it was saying all three lifts are done while standing on the floor. I think it's talking about how you can run this with minimal equipment.
Oh.
But I was on the wrong site. That's what happens when you rush at the last minute. But Ben's done this many years. I've done this, probably 15 times at least.
Yeah.
Run this event. So we got it. Even though I sound like I don't know what I'm doing. I got you.
No, it's actually pretty easy to run. To be honest.
Absolutely. It's not, no difficult, but the point I want to get across is, yes, it is recital day, like for you people who are nerds like me and grew up doing music, there's practice, then you have recital day. And we talk about that most of the time we're training, we're not testing in the gym, and to keep that in mind. Well, this is a test, but it's a fun test. It's not a you'll look foolish test, I promise. And I want to get across that you will love this, and I'm going to call it an event, but really it's just a normal Saturday morning class sometimes we hold it on its own day, but we're going to take the Saturday morning class hours and we're going to smoosh them together and we're going to hold one big class and we're going to do this test. So it's going to be really fun. So number one, don't hesitate to come. There will be a little bit of signing up, preliminary stuff, and we'll talk about that. So there's a little more than just a regular class, but it'll be really fun. And it'll probably take you 90 minutes out of your morning as opposed to 60 minutes, right? So just imagine you came early to 9 a.m. or you stay late after 8 a.m. Yeah.
And I will caveat Robin's thing about looking foolish, because there's really only two ways to look foolish. One, you misload your bar and you try and lift it. I think that happened last year. That's why I say that one.
It happens every year. Someone puts the wrong weight on one side and the wrong weight on the other side. But you'll be in groups. So hopefully if you picked your group right.
Which might mean why your bar got misloaded.
One of the things your group will do, we'll double check that for you and help you with your loading. And you guys can work together. Because one of the cool things is, instead of all going at the same time, everybody goes, and again, they don't worry you, but everybody goes one at a time so that we can watch you for standards and also so everybody can cheer everybody else on. And instead of you feeling nervous about that, you will feel so uplifted and supported. And again, you have other people checking you. So all you have to do is go ham on your lift. You don't have to worry about all that other stuff.
And then the other funny one is if you ask me if you went low enough in your squat while testing your back squat, please don't do that. Those are the two funny things I saw happen last year. I'm like, okay, you're going to look goofy if you do that.
Right. So there's a couple of really common standards that in class, we try to hold you to, but here we're actually going to tell you that was a good lift or that lift didn't count. It's not bad. It's just it either counts or it doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And everybody's different, so we're going to take all your differences into account. But, we'll go over standards in detail before we actually lift. But really, in general, in a back squat, you should break parallel. Your hip crease should go below your kneecap. Again, unless there's some sort of reason why you can't, due to whatever reason, we'll sort that all out ahead of time. But for most people, you need to get deep enough in your squat and you need to stand up all the way. What happens in the middle might be perfect. It might be ugly, but most of it counts. And then also in the back squat, they come out of the racks and everyone's going to get a spot. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry when you go really heavy, what happens if I fail? You're going to have your spotters there to help you up. So it's awesome. We don't really do that in class. So you don't get a lot of opportunity to do that, to really dig deep and go into that. So that's the back squat. The shoulder press, the biggest flaw we see is you bend your knees and you make it a push press. So you can't make it a push press. It has to be strict. You have to lock out at the top. We'll go through what that means and what that looks like in the briefing before we start lifting. That's the big, and those also come out of the racks. And again, you're going to have people around you to help you. And then the deadlift comes from the ground and you need to stand up all the way so that your shoulders are not in front of the bar anymore. We ask kindly that you not round your back, but you know what? That's not the standard. So good form isn't necessarily the standard, but it's highly appreciated. And because you guys always work out with good form, we usually see pretty good form in the total too. So yeah, so you'll have these opportunities. We do go through them in order. Everybody does their three attempts at a back squat.
Let's talk that real quick.
Yeah.
So I think this is actually the coolest thing we do with the total.
Yeah.
So there are 10 racks in the gym.
Yes.
So that easy pair up is if we have 20 people, you pair up with someone and you have 10 spots. And we literally go from rack to rack around the room, everybody watching you, everybody cheering you on, everybody giving you the boost when you get stuck at the bottom of your squat emotionally to get out. And it's really cool to watch. And we just hop around the room in order and we do however many passes until everybody's done their first attempt.
And it is the most judgment-free thing you've ever done in front of people.
Well, or
the judgment is normal because Ben's the only one judging you. Yeah. And Ben's always judging people according to everyone. So it's no different than
He's
normal.
Judging your standard, not your effort. But you will be amazed at how much more you can lift when you've got a room full of people encouraging you. It's like they're helping you lift it. It's really
exactly.
fun. Yeah.
It's a blast. So one, we go around the room.
Yeah.
So we do that for everyone's back squat. Then we do that for everyone's strict press. And then we get in the center of the room and we do that for everyone's deadlifts. And it's a blast to watch. And you're like, well, that doesn't seem like a lot of rest time. But when you actually consider waiting for 19 other people, say there's just 20 people, 19 other people to go, it's 2 to 3 minutes of rest, which is perfect.
It's the perfect amount of rest on both ends because it gives you plenty of rest, plenty of time to decide on your next weight that you want to lift, but not enough time for you to get cold or nervous. Because you're not just sitting there going, oh, my God, you're actually going, oh, my God, look at that person's back squat. Or maybe you're going, hey, they can do it, I can do it, or whatever. You're kind of engaged, and you know, so you get the best of both worlds. You get rest, but not those nerves. So it's really fun. Talk about the rules of what weights you can choose.
Okay. So rules on weights. It's very simple. You pick an opener.
But how do they pick that?
So I was going to talk to this a little later. I'll bring it forward now.
Yeah.
I like it. So I'll come back to this when we talk why we're training it and how we're training it. So we're doing a lot right now, and you'll see it in the training to come, fives and threes and then eventually ones in back squat, press, and deadlifts.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of November, because December 3rd is when we're doing this.
Oh, yeah. That's a good detail.
And we're going to also talk. I'm going to come back to why we pick Saturday instead of Sunday.
Okay.
So by the end of November, you should have a really good idea what a 3-rep max is for your lifts are and maybe what a 1-rep max is. I don't think you'll fully have an idea. So basically what you want to look at is that 3-rep max and go, well, I know I can do that 3 times. So I know I can do that 3 times. I definitely should be able to do that once.
Yep.
Even if everything's going wrong on this day.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is. So I often tell people, take that number and start with it.
Yep.
So that goes for any of them, back squat, press, deadlift. And then from there, you have to pick a second weight. This is where it gets a little strategic, a little strategy, a little fun. I usually tell people I have 2 options. First option, if you make that 3-rep weight and it feels good, I say jump to what you think is around your 1-rep max.
Yes.
And go for that one. If you miss that one, you have 2 options there. You can do the same weight, or you can be like, well, I missed, but I know I can get that weight. Or I missed, but it was only because I was nervous about depth and I cut it short and I shouldn't have. But I moved that bar like it was nothing. You can still go up in weight. If you want to.
But
you may not go backwards. And that's the big but. So that's why I say 3-rep max. Because it's something you're like, I'm confident I can get this. But I'm not so worried that I'll miss it. If I get 3 shots at it, I should get it once. So that's kind of the trickiness there.
And you'll also have time the day of to warm up that back squat.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have an idea, a really good idea. So we'll call that I call that first weight your gimme.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gimme. I know I can do this.
Yeah.
It's in the pan. Now you have a number that counts. What you don't want to do is get into a situation where you do 3 attempts and you fail all 3 of them. Because then you don't get any number.
Yeah.
So get your 1 in the can, right? This is my gimme. This is the 1 in the can. And then spend the next 2 rounds trying to beat that. It's based on how you feel, how you felt during that 1, maybe your previous PR. There's lots of numbers you can choose, but it will become very clear when you're doing this. And then you're going to have your little cohorts that you're lifting with, and they're going to have watched your lift, and they're going to make their recommendations. And if nothing else, ask Ben or Robin, and we will make a recommendation.
In addition to that, I love the gimme, but don't make it a warm-up gimme.
No. Yeah. Avi. Yeah. And that's why I like the 3-rep max guideline. So use that as a guideline.
Yeah.
But, you know, just so that you have that confidence on the day, if you're nervous, you didn't sleep well, whatever, find that gimme. But use that 3-rep max as a guide. That's typically, that'll be your gimme. Unless you had some phenomenal day, that 3-rep max. there's not that much time that has passed. Like, you couldn't have done that much damage to your body.
Well, and the other thing I'll say to that is, like, you can't, I'll pick numbers I know. So my goal would be, you know, I would want to squat near 400 pounds. So I couldn't open with a 200 pound squat.
No.
Because I would need 4 or 5 jumps in between there to get to 400.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do 200 knowing it's in my gimme because I only get 2 more shots. I don't get to squat while everybody else is hanging out and doing their thing. So that's the other thing. Like, Robin made it specific in the intro of you only get 3 attempts. There's no in-between attempts.
That's correct.
So there's no. Oh, I got a practice round right now.
You can't. You can squat as many times as you want, but if we do not have eyeballs on it and we aren't sanctioning it as one of your 3, it doesn't count.
Well, and also with the logistics of the room, you probably won't be able to.
No, you won't be able to because someone else will be going with their weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole key, and that's where, like, it's a fun. It's a game, almost, and that's why I love when Robin says it's an event, because is it truly a test of all 3? Not quite, because you would never really want to test all 3. But it's the fun gamesmanship of, if you've ever been to a powerlifting meet, they do this. If you've ever been to an Olympic meet, they do this. And there's so many more games that we are actually taking out of this equation, which is awesome. Like, nobody's going to have to starve themselves and put themselves on a scale before we go lift.
No.
It's great.
Nobody has to weigh in. That's awesome. Yeah.
So, and all of that fun stuff. So, we do the squat. Same thing goes for the press. Now, the press is a little trickier. The press, you might want to soften your gimme just a touch. Because the press is one of those where, as I see it, there's just a cliff's edge sometimes. Where, like, one weight you can do for 5 reps, and then next time you turn around, you can't do it 5 pounds heavier for 2 reps.
I call it hitting the brick wall.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the great thing with the press, and if you're new and you haven't played around with this stuff, we have quarter pound weights. Mm-hmm. We have 1 pound weights. We have, so yes, you can always be like, oh, I don't know if I can get 5 more pounds up over my head. Well, that's okay. You don't have to. But we're going to do lots of pressing. So you're going to get a really good idea of all these numbers. So don't worry too much about your numbers. And again, if you get in a pinch and a pickle, ask us and we will recommend something because we know you guys.
And I also skipped ahead. So let me skip back.
Mm-hmm.
Back squat. So say you make that second attempt.
Okay.
You got your gimme. You did close to your 1 rep max or your 1 rep max.
Yeah.
Also,
if so you met your previous 1 rep max.
Also, don't tie your 1 rep max. I hate that. So if nothing else, go put one of the quarter pound plates on and just so it's your 1 rep max plus 0.5 pound.
You can do it, but you'll be happier if you break that.
I hate it.
Boundary.
You're a bad person in my opinion.
Ouch. It might be the smart decision that day. But anyway, so then their second attempt.
So they make their
that
second
1 rep max and or beat it by 1/4 pound. And then, or 10 pounds. Who knows?
Whatever. And then this is what I love. This is when you get to just shoot it in the dark.
Yes.
Like go for gold.
Yeah.
You know, do something on a whim that you didn't think you could do. Now, don't go crazy. Like, it's the age-old thing. Well, I should just do 295 pounds versus 300 pounds. So you throw on the 300 pounds. Do the 295. It's okay. It's still good. But it's also a chance to shoot because it's the third attempt. You got nothing left. So might as well go for it.
We see a lot of times people doing this and thinking they have a 1 rep max in their mind. But then when they get in this atmosphere with all the support and they're super warm and they're really excited and that adrenaline's flowing, they really bust through that number. And then this is your chance to kind of go, oh, I'm feeling good. And you won't even know why, but you're like, I'm going to go for it. And this is a great opportunity. So I love that we have that third attempt. And also it's a way to, if you mess up, you know, you can still have another chance. Again, you can't go down in weight, but let's say you did it. You came up really quick before we told you you were deep enough. And we told you after that one didn't count. And you're sad, well, you'll have another chance to do it. And we go over this in the briefing, but I really want to reiterate it here in the podcast. The style we do this is different than class. So let's say we'll use, I'm going to use shoulder press as an example. You've pushed that over your head. Do not drop it until you know that was a good lift. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wait. And this is, again, this is a kind of a departure from training day. This is recital day. So in the weightlifting world, there's a light that goes on and it's, I think it's either red or white. right? It's a white light if you get it, or green.
Three white lights or three red lights?
Three white lights. Yeah, because you have three judges. Yeah, whatever. Combination there. The color. Yeah, so you get a good lift or a, that did not count. And I will give you one word for each, so it's really easy to hear. But I would definitely get used to playing around with holding those positions, those finishing positions, or the depth of the squat, that deadlift standing up, all of that stuff. Make sure that you've met the standards of the lift before you are complete it, because otherwise you will be set. You might have had a perfect lift and you just had to go lock out your elbows a little more, or gone like 1 inch deeper in your squat. So that's what we're there for. We will reiterate this in front of you and we'll keep reminding you. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the same thing for the press, and the same thing for the deadlift. The only nuance to the deadlift is two things. One, I love it that it's the ending one because it's the easiest to say, grip it and rip it. You know, it's the easiest to say, go ham and I'm going to close my eyes and make sure you come up safely.
Yes.
And then two, it's going to be the most taxing, but you're going to be drained already. So it's an interesting game of like, how do I do these three attempts without destroying myself on the first two? So
it's also that excitement and that atmosphere and that adrenaline has been building the whole day and the whole class. And so you will have a lot of fun with it. We have a lot of fun with the deadlift. Plus, you know, it's almost over. So it's really exciting. And for those of you that are really cautious about your back, we are going to give you some guidelines around that too. Yeah. Like if this isn't in place, don't move the weight. You're done. And that's okay too. Like that's a way of reaching your max. That's a way of saying I've gotten to where I need to get here. And that's totally fine. We're not going to push you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to say, hey, you're fine. You looked great on that last rep. Let's try some more weight. But it's up to you to say yes or no. So don't worry. There's always a way to say no. We're going to push because we really want you to have fun with this. And we know you can do it. But no worries about that. Also, if you are that person that's like, my squat isn't full depth, so I'm not coming. Come, because you just have to show us what your deepest squat is. And we'll hold you to that standard.
I'm going to go back to the deadlift real mm-hmm. quick. What was I going to say? So the other thing that's so fun about the atmosphere is now the bars are slamming. So it's this fun, loud, like smash when somebody hits a big lift. So it changes that whole environment. Really cool.
But beware, the standard is you cannot drop that bar.
Exactly.
You can bring it down to the ground with speed, but yes. Your hands need to be on the bar when it touches the ground. Yes. So just be aware you might want to practice that. If you're in my class, you've already practiced it because I don't like dropping deadlifts. And I talk about it a lot because working that negative. This is test day, so we don't want to keep your hands on because you're working the negative. It's just a standard that we hold you to, okay?
And I'm going to go back to risk managing injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So the good thing about only having three attempts is there's only three attempts. So even if you do one horrendously wrong, I'm going to be honest, nobody's going to deadlift 1,000 pounds. So the, you know, sheer forces on your body are probably not there enough to cause severe injury.
Honestly, I got to knock on some wood in here, but we haven't seen injuries during this. This is not one of those. It's not, it just doesn't happen. And again, in lifting meets in general, you'll see people do not get hurt. They're so warm. They're so happy. They're so excited. They have lots of eyeballs on them. So you'll be fine.
Most injuries occur in training and yeah. It's due to volume issues.
Yes.
It's volume and speed issues that I see more injuries happen, or like comes to backs and deadlifts. I'm like, no, you rounded 40 of those and that's why your back feels like it's going to blow up today. Not that you rounded one.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I know Robin tells you, keep your back flat, keep your back flat. And she will say this about 900 times that day. I know it's going to happen because that's just mechanically sometimes how it goes when you do a one rep max.
Oh, 100%. It will happen to most of you.
Yes.
But again, it'll be on that last one.
Yeah.
Right? And it'll be one and it'll be fine. You can tolerate that stuff because your training has been so pristine. And we're not telling you to round your back, but it's definitely... something that happens, just like your one rep max back squat will not be your prettiest back squat. It's not going to be pretty.
Nor should it be.
Should it be.
If it is,
you got more in the tank.
Well, exactly. That's where you're going to get the uncomfortable comment from Ben of, go heavier.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
So, yeah. So, do you want to talk about how to train for this? Are we there?
Let's actually go back to why we're doing it on a Saturday.
Okay. You have 8 minutes.
Yes, ma'am. So why on a Saturday? So normally we do this on a Sunday, but we shifted it back to a Saturday. My hope is that doing it on a Saturday causes more of you to show up to it. We normally have anywhere from kind of 30-ish people come Saturday morning, give or take.
For classes.
And the total, because it's on a Sunday, during December, holidays, blah, blah, blah. Sundays, sometimes it's a little less. So my hope is that I see 30 people there, because you would be there anyway for a Saturday morning.
Yeah. And then you have the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of torturing you with some god-awful three-partner burpee nonsense of terribleness, we get to lift heavy and have fun.
And to be clear, you don't get to probably hold us to exactly an hour. We're going to get you guys all there at 8:30 for briefing, standards, warm-up. Today, this is a special day where we put a warm-up on the board, and you do it on your own. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll have that first back squat go.
Mm-hmm.
There's our whistle.
Yep.
There's our work whistle. There you go. You've heard it.
Yep.
So if you're putting this on your calendar, you show up at 8:30. I would plan to be there till 10:30.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a planner. But that's still, you got tons of time after that. So.
And we will run it as efficiently or more efficiently than you saw us run Dust Till Dawn. So.
Yes.
And it's an easier one to run. So.
We've done it a million times. So.
Yeah. So that's why we chose a Saturday. Also, we chose the first Saturday in December. One, to hopefully avoid your holiday party fun, so there's no hangover days. Although I do know someone who came very hungover last year's total and PR'd all of their lifts.
Yes.
So maybe hangovers are your strategy. I don't know.
I wouldn't
recommend it as a performance improvement or a performance enhancement plan. But hey, you know, to each their own. The reason we put this event or goal in the training cycle is it's a fun mix of what comes throughout the year. So we just did a training cycle prepping for Dust Till Dawn of some silliness and work capacity things and being able to work, rest, and stuff like that. We're going to do the total, which is get you freaking strong.
Yep.
And all that fun stuff. And then the open comes in February, March, testing overall fitness and capacity to a certain level. And then we'll come back to strength balance, kind of some more sprinting running in April, May, June timeframe to kind of balance you all out and have some fun outside for the summer. So that's kind of why we do it one on a Saturday or why we do it in general. So if you're thinking of that. But let's go back to training. So if you haven't been paying attention in the gym, we've been doing a lot of back squatting, deadlifting, and pressing. And if you're like, Ben, that's not a lot. Well, the people who tell me it's not a lot would like to do it every day.
I think people are getting a lot of lifting. They're happy. Yeah.
Yes. That's why I always laugh, is the people who are like, well, we don't do it enough. And I go, well, did you come these days? And they're like, yeah. Well, this is the one out of the 6 days in the gym we program that's not got a lifting first.
Yeah.
And I just chuckle at those people. You'll notice even we've done a lot of EMOMs with like ascending workloads. So like we did a deadlift workout last week with a bike and a deadlift. You built in weight every single time. So we were still building strength during that. Not like your classic 30-minute deadlift AMRAP where the weight stays the same the whole time and those types of things. So a couple of things to keep in mind when we're training in November and as we've been training here. Start keeping track of lifts.
Your numbers, yeah.
Yeah, I said it last week. I will remind you again this week. When you're doing your 3x3s, when you're doing your 5x5s, write those things down because they will start to give you ideas. And you can even go to the internet and start to find equations and guesses and start to help you figure these things out. and it will help in the long term with your training. And it's not like you need to have an app with all these things and all that. We have one, by the way. It's called SugarWide. But if you have a general idea on, okay, this is around what I squat for a big, heavy back squat. This is around what I deadlift for a big, heavy deadlift. This is around what I press. You can start to then modify workouts from there. So when Ben tells you, grab a dumbbell you can do 20 times with a press, you're going to start to get a better idea of, okay, it's not a 10-pound dumbbell like I wish it was. It's actually a 20-pound dumbbell and those types of things. And it can start to help both the conditioning workouts be better for you, but also the heavy lifting days be more beneficial for you. Because that's the biggest thing I try and help people with in the gym is I don't want you to waste your time. You all are way too busy and have way too many other priorities to waste the time that you use in the gym. So the more effective we can make training for you, the better off you'll be. So you will see in the next couple weeks a lot of 3x3s and then 3x1s and some other fun things like that. You'll also see those funny EMOMs where it's like, do a couple things, then lift heavy. Do a couple things, then lift heavy. And the weights keep going up and up and up. That is one to force you to actually warm up. Two, it helps give you feelings on like, oh, when I just make that big jump, this weight feels terrible. But if I make two or three jumps in between there, my body feels more ready to lift that weight. It's the biggest thing I can help impart with you as we build this system for you is the better you practice, the better you warm up, the better those big weights will feel. It's why we see it all the time. Well, why did I PR that after a 20, 30 minute workout? It's like, because you were actually warmed up for the first time. Yeah. I saw it yesterday. I saw folks put one weight on a bar, then put a second weight on the bar, and then they didn't add weight the whole rest of the day. And it wasn't because their technique was bad on the deadlifts. It was because they made too big of jumps and they couldn't go any heavier. I'm like, you missed out on perfecting this and making this better. And that's where I get sad for people. And it comes off as annoyed, but it's sad for you because you could have done so much better for yourself in that time frame.
I'm going to say also train harder than you perform. So, for example, train a really deep back squat. In the competition or event or whatever we're calling this, in the test, you don't have to go past, you have to go like 1 inch past parallel. So if you're training 6 inches past parallel, that's going to seem easier to you. So you want to train really hard. Also on the deadlift, this is another example. Use those negatives, lower with control. That's going to build strength. But when you do it in the test, you do not need to do that. You just got to use all your strength on lifting it. You can't drop it, remember, but you can let everything go and just let it fall to the ground with your hands on it. So, and then for the press, I don't know, maybe hold the top for a 1,000 count. Get used to like having that overhead position be really strong. You could also lower slowly on your press, like train harder than you're going to perform. Yeah. And dial in those standards, those full depth, stand all the way up, lock out over the top in your shoulder press. Don't get sloppy in your training because then you're going to go there under the duress of test day and it's going to not be great. Yeah?
Yeah. And I think also remember the difference between training and testing. If we are training, there are certain things you don't need to use. Like you don't need that belt. You don't need that mixed grip. You don't need certain knee sleeves, shoes, and things like that. Especially if it's just training. Because then come competition day, once you're warmed up and you've done it and you've done something with these before, because usually the people who have the gear use the gear before, they know how to use it, then you just slap it on and it makes everything feel better. Mm-hmm. Like that's the funny thing to me is I'm like, I come from a world where practice was always harder than games. Military training operations were way harder than actual, which is kind of scary sometimes. And all sorts of other things like in coaching, we got thrown training stimuluses that I've never had to deal with in real life. And I'm thank God I don't because they were way harder. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of stuff. Like if you, as Robin said, make training harder, you actually become better when it comes test day. And it's so funny to me because I'm like, some people, the belt, the bend in the belt, right? I'm like, if you didn't use your belt, you would figure out how to brace so much better. And then come test day, because you figured out how to brace better, that belt would only enhance that brace better.
Exactly.
So now that squat that used to feel really heavy, you're braced through. So all the power of your legs goes through the floor and sends you upright. Holy cow. It's a game changer. But because you never learned that and you tried to rely on a belt thinking it was keeping you safe when it doesn't, boom. And that's the magic. That's why we do all this training.
So train to those standards or beyond and track your numbers, at least right now, if you don't normally. And then the last bit is, why do we want you to do this? I mean, we talked already, because it's really fun and you'll get a lot out of it enjoyment wise. But there's another reason. Maybe reasons. Do you want to take one of those?
I'm trying to think of which one you're telling me to go with.
Well, I know. Brain. I mean, I can go. Having your one rep max numbers will help you in the whole year to come kind of address your numbers in training. Mm-hmm. So you got, we don't typically work in percentages, but we might say something like, hey, go like 80% of your max, like, or heavy is like 90% of your max is heavy today. And then you'll go, oh, I know my max. I can do that. Like, or we get a lot of, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, now you will. You'll know where that is. You'll know what heavy is for you. You know what moderate is for you. You know what light is for you. Based on numbers, like real data. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like it.
Yeah, it gives you a new data point and gives you a new challenge to work through and towards consistently. Yeah. Why else do we do it? One, this is for those of you who give nothing about strength, you don't care. You just want to look better in the mirror, right? Whatever that is to you. This is a great opportunity to develop muscle. And we all know muscle looks better than flab. Yeah. As one of my clients says, to get out of putting money in the fat jar, adipose tissue. Like, just because you say it that way doesn't mean it doesn't do this.
It doesn't mean the same thing.
And that's the biggest thing. Like, if you were to add 5 pounds of muscle to your frame, your arms would look better. Your legs would look better. Your abs would look better.
You'd burn more calories.
All those things. Blah, so, blah, blah. So if you have more muscle on you, all those holiday treats will get burned off a little bit better in the days to come following the total.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't care about the strength numbers or all that, but you do care about all those aesthetic goals. Boom. And for those of you with health, more the studies keep coming out. The more muscle you have, the longer you live.
Yeah, it's really that simple.
And this is where grip strength comes in. This is where central nervous system control comes in. All of those things. That is why we do all this stuff. And it's why once a year we test it. And we throw caution in the wind and we go for it.
Yep.
So, all of that. Now, I got one last thing.
I got another why. But yeah, go ahead.
Go with your why.
Oh, I was going to say, and you have your numbers so that you can track your progress over the year. So you can say quantitatively, did I get stronger this year? Because you could, there's a lot of variables, and maybe it's not the only measure, but it's a really good measure. Like, if your total goes up, you're probably stronger in general.
Yeah. And if you're struggling to see results elsewhere, maybe this is how you see results, which is always fun. Okay.
One more thing.
And this is for all of you who are, one, nervous, scared, or like, I can't do one of those movements. Come. If you haven't learned yet in the gym, Ben has way too many tricks up his sleeves to come up with a different test. Like, if you can't press vertically, we'll do a landmine press. Or that oh god awful bench press. You know, we'll find something. If you, as Robin said, you can't squat below and parallel, we'll figure out what your squat is. Or I'll have you do something else to test for fun.
Yeah.
If you're one of my folks who does an elevated deadlift, we'll do an elevated deadlift.
Yeah. There's no, because we're not competing against each other. You're only competing against yourself. So we'll make it something you can test for your strength.
And it will be an absolute blast. And that's the bigger thing is, if you're worried, like, well, I can't use my right arm. Cool. We'll just do a test on your left arm. My right knee is funky. All right. Well, we'll do a single leg squat on your left. You know, all those things. There are so many fun things we can do with this. And I would rather see, but you know what? I like the squat, the press, and the deadlift too. So let's do those. So do not, you have no excuse to say I am injured or can't do this. None. And the only thing I can think of is you are sick and throwing up, or because I haven't said it yet, you need to use the bathroom and not be anywhere from the bathroom.
If you're sick, don't come to the gym. Nobody wants your germs.
Yes.
But just really quick details. So just the logistics, right? So it's 8:30 a.m., mandatory briefing at the gym at 13 67th Street on Saturday, December 3rd. You will be getting emails and socials to remind you to email us your opening weight. So this is, again, where it kind of deviates from a regular class. You can email these pretty up until the last minute. I mean, I think we're going to have them probably trickling in all week right before, but... Yep. There's only one reason we want to know that, because we want to group you together with people that are about the same openers, so that you're taking weights on and off between people is minimal, right? Yes. So it's just for efficiency's sake. And you'll love being grouped with other people. It makes it so much more fun. Mm-hmm. They can put your weights on for you. You don't have to put your weights on enough. Yeah. Everybody's going to spot each other and all of that. So we definitely want to put you in those groups. And again, if you decide the last minute, that's okay too. But but we'll be calling for you to send us that information. And then we can make better decisions, right? And set you all up.
And for those of you who worry about staying longer, the better we have numbers up front, the smoother it runs.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The faster we get everything done.
Yep.
And the sooner your two coffee, donuts, or whatever enjoyable treats you decide to have post-lifting all of
there's for some reason on Total Day, donuts usually make a showing. I'm not going to promise anything, but it's a pretty good bet that you'll see those little pink boxes.
Yep. So come out, have a blast with us at the Total, and yeah. I can't think of any other things or reasons. Yep. So we'll see you at the Total, and have a great and wonderful day, everyone. Bye.
Bye.